We're doing the Chazanish, Emunah u'Bitachon, and the Chazanish was focused on hammering home the point that our big responsibility after we've developed that basis of Emunah and Bitachon, that understanding that God is running the world and that He's in full control, our responsibility is to evolve into an understanding of Halacha, to know how to lead our lives. And the Chazanish said many sharp lines about how the masses will admire someone because he is a great orator, he tells very nice stories, he gives good speeches, but that's not how you gauge whether someone's a big person or not. The big person is someone who's big in his knowledge of Torah and Halacha. And that's the point the Chazanish is hammering home, proving it from many different angles. And now he's going to prove it from another angle. He begins with a Gemara in Kiddushin. Okay, we have a Gemara Kiddushin here. The Talmud tells us in Tractate Kiddushin all kinds of interesting scenarios where a guy gets engaged to a girl and he says, I'm getting engaged to you on the condition that I am wealthy, on the condition that I am learned in Torah, on the condition that I am a tzaddik. All kinds of conditions that he makes when he engages her. Now, it's a very interesting, this piece of Gemara. It teaches us many things in our perspective of humanity. And that's why I want us to take a minute just to read through the Gemara, to see the Gemara's perspective. So, what happens if he told her, okay, this is a long Gemara. You guys want to see the full Gemara? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Okay, so we'll start from the beginning. If he told her, Al Minat Shani Kohen, he engaged her on the condition that he's a Kohen, turns out he's a Levi. He told her, I'm engaging you on the condition that I'm a Levi, and turned out he's a Kohen. He said, on condition I am a Natin, one of the Givonim, those who converted to Judaism, and then later on King David ruled that they're not a part of Judaism. V'nimtza mamzer, turns out he was a halachic bastard. Mamzer, he's engaging you on the condition that he's a halachic bastard, but in fact he's a Natin, one of the Givonim. So those are different examples in the Mishnah. And in all those examples, Rabbi Shimon doesn't disagree. Those examples we have, are they? We have in the Mishnah. In all those examples, it says, on the condition that I am from the city, and from a small city, turns out he's from a metropolis, he's from a big city. He said, I'm from a big city, turns out he's from a small city. On the condition that my house is close to the bathhouse. On those days, that was important. They didn't have plumbing, right? And it turns out that his house is far. He said, on condition that my house is far away, and sometimes that's better. She doesn't want all the smoke and all the traffic from the bathhouse, and turns out he's right next door. On condition that I have a daughter or a maid that can help you, and he doesn't. He said, on condition that I don't have a daughter or a maid, and then it turns out he does, and she doesn't want such a person in the house. On the condition that I don't have any sons from previous marriages. Turns out he does. Or he said, on condition that I do have sons, and he doesn't. So in all these instances, the Kiddushin don't take effect, the Mishnah says. Okay, the Mishnah gives a list. Even though she'll say, you know, I didn't care. We say, yeah, but he made a condition when he engaged you. It was with that understanding. And the fact that she says, well, I didn't care. Didn't matter to me. We say, fine, but he didn't keep his end of the deal. So in all those instances, the Mishnah says, it doesn't take effect. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Next quote. Al menat shani kalyana. He told her, I'm engaging you on the condition that I know how to read Torah. What is it? How much Torah does he need to know how to read in order to be called? I'm a learned person. I'm literate. I read Torah. Kevan shekara shlosha psukim bebeknes, tarezum kudeshet. If he could get an aliyah, read three psukim in shul, that's it. The engagement takes effect. That's called he knows how to read. Rabbi Yehuda says he has to know how to read and translate. Okay, the Gemara goes into that a little bit. Fine. If he said Kra'ana, if he said not that I'm literate, but that I know Torah, so then Adikari Oraita Nevi V'Ktuve B'Diyuka. He has to know how to read. He has to know the whole Tanakh. If he says I know Torah, Al Menat Shani Shoneh. He says I learn Mishnah. I'm a guy who knows Mishnah. I know the oral law. Chizkiya Omer Alachot. Chizkiya says he has to know the oral law, including the tradition Halacha al Moshe Mesinai. Rav Yochanan says Torah. So the Gemara asks on that, what does that mean? And the Gemara says what he meant with the words Torah is that he knows Medrash. If he said on Menat Shani Talmid, I'm engaging you on the condition that I'm a student. En omrim k'Shimon ben Azai k'Shimon ben Zoma. We don't say he has to be like Rabbi Shimon ben Azai or Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma that were masters of Torah. Ela kol she'shoalin oto bekol makom davar echad belimudo ve'omero. All he has to know is the Shas. He doesn't have to be a master like Rabbi Shimon ben Azai and Shimon ben Zoma that any question they can figure it out. All he has to know is all of the Shas, and even Tractate Kala, the laws of Derech Eretz, he has to know. So this is what the Chazon Ish is going to focus on. That a guy says, Al Menat Shani Talmid, we don't say he has to know like Shimon ben Azai and Shimon ben Zoma. Okay, we'll continue. Drop. Al Menat Shani Chacham. If he says, on condition, I am a Chacham, I am a Rabbi. En omrim ke Chachmei Avnek Rabbi Kiva v'chaverav. He doesn't have to be as smart as the sages of Yavne, Rabbi Akiva, and his friends. All he has to know, again, is all of Shas. That you ask him any depth of understanding in Shas, and he knows it. He doesn't have to be as big as Rabbi Akiva that he could figure out the answer to new questions. He only has to know all the tradition, you know, all these volumes, right? Only that. That's a chacham. He doesn't have to be able to figure out new things. Okay? Al menat she'ani gibor, he says, I'm engaging on the condition that I am a gibor, a brave warrior. En omrim ki'avner b'ner chiyav ben tzuya. We don't say he has to be like King David's chief general. Ela kol shechavrav mityarim mimenu mipnei gvurato. It has to be that when he walks into town, everyone trembles a little bit. That's gibor. You know, his friends won't pick a fight with him. Al menat she'ani ashir, he says, on condition I'm wealthy. En omrim ki'rabbi Elazar ben Chalsum, who owned the whole cities and had fleets of ships and tons of servants. No, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was also extraordinarily wealthy. All he has to be is respected in his city as a philanthropist, as someone wealthy that people respect. Al menat shani tzadik. This is one of those beautiful, beautiful lines you can just remember for life. He engages her on the condition that he's righteous. Now you'll notice until here, the Gemara was pretty tough with him. You know, he says, I know how to, I read Torah, so we test him on Tanakh. I know Mishnah, we test him on Shas. I know Talmud, okay, we test him on Shas, Talmud. He says on condition I'm a tzaddik. He engages her on the condition I'm a tzaddik. Afilu rasha gamur, even if this guy ate chazer on Yom Kippur. So he's really wicked. You know, he's a guy who lends with interest. He doesn't pay back his loans. He's a wicked person. Mikudeshet. Nonetheless, she is engaged. But wait a second, he engaged on the condition he's a tzaddik. Shema hirher tshuva bedato. You don't know if at the minute that he engaged her, he said, I'm engaged on the condition I'm a tzaddik. Why did he say that? Maybe he thought to himself, I'm turning over a new leaf. Maybe at that moment he did regret the life he'd led until now, and that makes him a tzaddik. That teaches us the great strength when a person decides, I'm changing. The fact that he won't live up to it is another problem, but at that second when he decided, I want to change from all this, that's the first step of tshuva. Okay, he's already on his way to being a tzaddik. And that's enough. Different than everything else, right? In every other area, we took him to task down to the T. So from here, the Sfaradim have a minhag, right? That when a person is going to be a witness at a chuppah, so they tell the Mesader Kiddush and whispers to them before the ceremony, just before the chasan engages her with the ring, he tells them, te'areru b'tshuva, contemplate doing tshuva. Because that way, even if they've led a life with certain sin, the fact that at that moment they decided, you know, I really regret it, that moment, that so that'll turn them to tzaddik for that moment. An menat shani rasha, afilu tzaddik amur mekudeshet. He says, I'm engaging you on condition I'm wicked. And it turns out he's been a tzaddik his whole life. She's still engaged. Maybe at that moment he really was thinking, I'm going to become a pagan. You know, he says, I'm engaged you on the condition I'm wicked. Maybe that moment that's what he was thinking. I'm turning a new leaf the other way. Okay. We'll conclude with a nice line. Ten measurements of wisdom came down to the world. Tisha natla, nine were taken by Eretz Yisrael. The rest were given to the world. The world has to divide up not one. And Israel got nine. Asra kabin yofi yardu l'olam. 10 measurements of beauty came down to the world. Tisha natla Yerushalayim. Jerusalem took nine. Ve'chad kol ha'olam kulo. And the rest of the world has one to divide up. Asra kabin ashirut yardu l'olam. 10 measurements of wealth came down to the world. Tisha natlu romiyim. Nine were taken by Rome, the early Rome, and one is left to the world. Asara kabin aniyut yordu l'olam. 10 measurements of poverty, nine were given to Babylon. 10 measurements of crassness came down to the world. Nine were taken by Elam, which is the capital of Persia, otherwise known as Iran. And one was left for the rest of the world. So, there's one more line you guys should know. 10 measurements of promiscuity came down to the world. 9 were taken by Arabia. 10 measurements of chatter came down to the world. 9 were taken by women, and 1 was left for men. 10 measurements of drunkenness came down to the world. And this I'll tell you offline. Whoever's interested can look up the Gemara, Kiddushin 49b. Okay, so we're, now that we've seen that Gemara, let's begin the Chazanish. Okay, 49, we're continuing with the Chazanish. That was all introductory. Amru Kiddushin, the Talmud says in Tractate Kiddushin, Al menat shani talmid, if someone engages a girl on condition that I am a student of Torah, en amrim kishimon ben Azai. We don't say he has to be as smart as Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, he only has to know Shas. Al menat shani chacham, if he says on condition I am wise in Torah, en amrim kichachmei yavnek Rabbi Akiva v'chamerav. We don't say he has to be as smart as Rabbi Akiva and his friends, the rabbis of Yavne. So wait a second. The Chazon Ish wants to analyze this line in Gemara. Hinehu amdu b'zichon rabotenu zal l'rosh v'ruma ma'ala ben Azai v'Rabbi Akiva. You see, when the Talmud wanted to give you the prime examples of a Talmud and a Chacham, the Talmud chose two, right? Ben Azai and Rabbi Akiva. Those were the top examples. If you want to know what it means to be a Talmud and a Chacham, you have Ben Azai and Rabbi Akiva. So you want to know who was Ben Azai, says the Chazon Ish. Let's look around Shas for a minute. You find three places in Shas where the rabbi said, I'm like Ben Azai. We're going to see now. Abaye says in Erevin, in Sota, and in Kiddushin. So we'll look at the one in Sota. The Talmud tells us, Abaye said, I'm like Ben Azai in the marketplaces of Tveria. So, there was a day when Abaye felt he had all his learning clear, and he felt he was sharp as a whistle, and he said, even though I'm here in Pumpeditsa, I feel like I have things clear today, I'm on a high, you can ask me and you'll see, I can answer you like Ben Azai, who used to sit in the marketplaces of Tveria, and he could answer you. So, you see, even rabbis had days of ups and days of downs, and Abaye told his students, today's a good day. You have questions, today's the time to ask me. So, the students come in and say, okay, Rabbi, we have a question. Shnei chalalim zalga beze. We have the laws of Egla Arufa, right? If a person is found murdered between two towns, you have a whole procession. So here's the question, if you're so sharp today. What happens if you find two corpses lying one on top of the other? Meichanu modet. So how do you measure now? One is a drop further than the other one. So if you measure from one of them, so then he'll be closer to one city. And if you measure from the other one, he'll be closer to the other city. They're lying two corpses, one on top of the other, and each one's drawn slightly to the other direction. So, min bemino havi tamun, umin bemino lo havi tzaf. They asked him like this, how do you view two bodies, one on top of the other? We're going to pick up here on this bright and wonderful subject. Next class, it's time for dinner. So, the Chazon Ish is articulating how we view Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai. If those are the prime examples in the Shas of a Chacham and a Talmid, so let's analyze what does it mean to be like Ben Azai. And he's going to prove that it means to be great in Halacha. That's how you gauge, and that's where a person should aspire to. But that we're still going to see. Bezat Hashem next class.